In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Last week, we talked about one of the slogans of the Protestant Reformation, Sola Scriptura, Scripture alone. In the epistle reading from St. Paul today, we hear a passage that Protestants like to quote to support one of their other slogans, which is faith alone. Before we look at the text of the reading, I want to begin three verses prior, because St. Paul first talks about the state of the lost before he talks about what Christ does for us in our salvation. I think it's very important for us to understand the bad news before we talk about the good news. The prophets always talked about the bad news before they talked about the good news, and you find that in the gospel of Christ itself too. You have to understand that we're sinners and we need to be saved. He says, "And you were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all lived in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." The fact that man is sinful is a stark and undeniable reality, but amazingly, you have a lot of people who don't want to believe that. They want to talk about people as being inherently good. And of course, in our prior to the fall of Adam, we were created good, but the fall had its effect, and we're all born with propensity to sin. And we see that borne out in the case of every person that's ever lived, with the exception of the Savior. We have that tendency to sin, and we live it out. And apart from Christ, we are lost. We are under the control of the prince of the power of the air, as it says. We are children of wrath, and we desperately are in need of a Savior. In communism, you find a Christless gospel. You have people who've denied that God exists, but they still have this idea of sort of a kingdom of God on earth, and they want to establish it, but of course it's a kingdom of God without God. But the reason why communism doesn't work is because mankind are sinners. If we were all angels, if we were all in heaven, and we couldn't be tempted by sin, then sure, we could share equally. We could have a utopia where everyone was treated the same way, and those that needed more would be given more by those that had more. But unfortunately, the reality is that we are selfish in our fallen state. We have a tendency to sin. And when you take God out of the equation, you see how evil mankind can be. The most evil system that's ever been created is this utopian system of communism. It's anti-God, it's anti-church, and it has influenced so much of our society. We thought in the Cold War we had defeated communism, but we see communism making a comeback. It's just calling itself different things in our culture. But we have people who are Marxists in their ideology, they just don't like to call themselves that. And we need to be on guard, because just like communism destroyed Russia in the Bolshevik Revolution, communism, that ideology, this idea of a gospel without Christ, will destroy our country as well. There's no earthly kingdom that is eternal that we can say is always going to be here, that God is always going to bless. And if we turn our backs on God, then God will leave us to our own devices. But then we hear the good news. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us," which means he made us alive, "together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. Christ raises us from spiritual death to life. We were buried with him in baptism, and we are raised up with him in baptism. And we are given the ability to walk in newness of life." Now, that's not just a one-time thing. That's something that has to be an ongoing thing. But at least we are given the power to be what God wants us to be. And then it says, "He hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the age to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." Christ raised up our fallen nature to heaven in the ascension. He paid the penalty for our disobedience. He died, he rose again, and he ascended to heaven. and we will go to be there with him. That's our eternal destiny if we avail ourselves to the gospel, if we believe what Christ has promised us. That's where we will be. If we'll just simply receive that gift and not reject it. And then this is the verse that Protestants like to quote, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now, the way this verse is misunderstood, a very important thing that needs to be understood, is that when St. Paul says, by grace you are saved through faith, not by works, he's not saying we're saved by faith and not by works. He's saying we're saved by grace through faith, not by works. So what is being contrasted is not faith and works, but rather grace and works. We don't earn our salvation. We can't go before God and say, look, God, I did everything I was supposed to do. You owe me, because that's just simply not the case. We could never possibly earn our salvation. But he's saying that it's by grace through faith. But the question is, the question that we have to ask Protestants is it faith alone? Because it doesn't say that in this passage. Well, one of the epistles that Martin Luther really didn't like and wanted to toss out of the Bible was the Epistle to St. James. We celebrated his memory last week. And in chapter 2, beginning with verse 14, he says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him?" And obviously the answer to that is no. Not faith without works, he says, is dead. Faith cannot save you by itself. It's not a faith that works. It will not save you. "If a brother or sister be naked or destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." Faith alone is dead. And then he goes on to give an example. First he talks about righteous Abraham. He says, "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works?" Which what that means is that his faith worked together with his works, synergistically. And the word in Greek is actually the word where we get synergy from. "And by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith alone." The King James says not by faith only, because probably the Protestant translators of the King James just couldn't bring themselves to put "not by faith alone" in print, but that's exactly what it says in Greek, that we're not justified by faith alone. And so, obviously, you can't say we're justified by faith alone when the scriptures clearly say that we are not. That's what the Bible says, and Protestants like to say, we believe what the Bible says. Well, here is what it says. We're not justified by faith alone. And then he goes on also to cite the example of Rahab the harlot, whom he says was justified by works when she received the messengers and had sent them out another way. "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." So faith that doesn't have works is like a dead body. But faith with works is a body that has life in it. And so you can't separate the two. There's no way that you can possibly have faith and not have works. They have to go together for them to be a real saving faith. But some might say, well, maybe St. Paul and St. James just weren't on the same page. That's basically what Luther thought when he was trying to get the Epistle to St. James tossed out of the Bible. Well, obviously the answer is no, because St. Paul tells us in Galatians that faith works by love. And here in the same passage, the very next verse after the one that talks about us being saved by grace through faith and not by works, he says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained that we should walk in them." A real faith works. A real faith is not alone. Saving faith works by love. But we don't earn our salvation by faith or works. Even faith, St. Paul tells us, is a gift. God has to give us grace for us to do anything, and so therefore even the good things that we do We can't say we did it. We have some reason to boast before God, because even the good things that we can do are only possible because God gives us the grace. But we have to cooperate with Him. We have to work synergistically with Him. And elsewhere, St. Paul talks about the fact that we are co-laborers together with God. And again, that same word synergy is used. We have to cooperate with that grace that He gives us to believe and to have that living faith that works by love. And if we do that, He'll provide us the grace and the power that we need if we'll only accept it and allow that grace to do what He wants it to do in us. Amen.